And so I was coming home and I opened the door, downstairs, the main door. And guess who was walking down the stairs? And he's looking at me. This guy is so weird. Like, he's looking at me like, I'm saying, hey, how are you? And he says, hey, how's it going? So I go, check my, the mailbox to see what's in there. And then I know that he wants to talk to me about it.
Wait, but how did you know that it was? You said you didn't even know what the guy looked like. And he didn't even know who you were.
No, I did know what he looked like. We just weren't, introduced, or, he didn't come forward to introduce himself because I was here before he was. Usually when you come into a new area, you kind of introduce yourself to your neighbors a little bit.
Well,
so, I mean, it could be done both ways. So either way. So anyway, so he turns to me and he says, oh, we exchanged a few notes here and there. And I said, yeah, I know. And, he says, well, I'm really interested in buying your apartment. what do you want me to do? go live somewhere because you want to buy this place? Yeah, I really want your place.
Dude, why don't you just sell it? Just sell it at this point.
Where am I going to live?
Find somewhere else to live. You're going to get all cash, apparently. And he's so eager, you could just name your price.
Yeah. It's like, I really want to buy a place.
I would have been like, why are you so desperate?
And then he goes for this handshake. Some men, they think that if they have this, humongous super grip, that they're like, yes, and my thumb was hurting for a weekend, and then he made it worse by shaking my hand so hard out of pain in my head. I have to take Advil.
You should leave a note on his door. Hey.
So anywho.
I came to you for those who are listening, and I said, I'm tired of this show. And there's a lot going on the other way. Okay. So we're going to try something new, and we're going to just do like half and half. Run through them a little bit faster because I don't know what it is. It's just kind of like, it's a bit of a boring season, and there is a lot going on the other way. So I wanted to leave room for both.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go with gonorrhea. Let's do gonorrhea first.
I swear to God, if that man keeps graphically describing his symptoms.
I know. He literally said, stop. I have gunk spewing out of my
No, you don't need to also say it. I don't want to hear that ever again.
I just want the audience to. I just want
really
to
really get the feel
that.
For, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And he goes swimming in this beautiful park, And who knows? I mean, there are people washing their clothes like a few feet away from them. And, but I really, there are two people that I was really mad at. It was Lauren. And obviously, Adnan, and three people I really felt sad
and
about.
And Brian.
Sad for.
I was Faith, kind of irritated with Brian. Okay.
Ingrid and Niles. Niles, he's the one that should have gone overseas with somebody with him. He needs somebody to be.
He
you
even
know,
said that.
With
so
him,
I kept asking
out.
Myself. Where's his family? And then we just find out it's because his family doesn't support it. And I don't blame them because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But you can't just leave him.
Even if he don't support, at least go with him.
Yeah, he needs
someone. He can't. I mean, it's his first time leaving the country.
Is it though? Or by himself, you mean?
Yeah, by himself. is like
by himself. Yeah.
He's like another
big trip to do for someone who's even neurotypical. So
I know. He's just, and he said he's doing this stemming. He said that he tries to distract. Stimmy tried to distract himself from.
Yeah. So when you're overstimulated as someone who's neurodivergent, like if you're in a crowded place or whatever it is that you're visually, auditorily
overwhelmed,
you may stim, and it is also a form of like self-soothe. So his stimming was pretty regular. It was like, what did he say? He was like, I touch my face, like, you know, these
types massage of things. Sometimes, my temple and look away.
Sometimes stimming can be, and I say this again for those who are listening, because my mom was in special education and child development for 40 years. So some of the language I was familiar with before, it's become very popular now on TikTok and stuff because people are realizing that they may be neurodivergent and they never realized. But certain times when people stim, it might not be as socially acceptable. So sometimes you'll see people like kind of flapping their arms or making a strange noise or whatever. Like that can also be stimming.
Right.
But his are pretty, like, I don't think people would take a second glance at him. So hopefully that'll help him in Ghana. But also Matilda, is that her name? Even Matilda was like, said what I said last week, which is like, people don't know what the fuck autism is over here and they're not understanding. So
no.
I'm just concerned for him in many ways. Who were you, weren't you irritated with
Lauren and Adnan?
I'm adding Brian to the list of people I was irritated with this week.
Yeah, a little bit, because, you know, Ingrid told him, you know, just let me be by myself and, you know, think things over.
Not just that. She said, I need to be with my son for a second. I need time to process everything that you freaking told me. And what did he do? Drove right over all of her boundaries.
He bought flowers for her and, you know.
That's fine. And, but, you know, she said she needed time with her kid. Respect that. He's so needy. He was like,
I mean, at the end, it felt like she didn't mind it so much because he kind of made the son happy, you know, with the toy and all that. I mean, she could have said, no, I'm not coming to the door, or, you know, I just need time. Please, let's talk, you know, later. And she could have said that, but she did come. I mean, I felt bad for her because she was like all alone with her 2-year-old in this place. I don't know. It was like not too many people live there.
Together, I was worried.
And
she
was all by herself. Yeah, I felt really sad for her.
Yeah. I didn't feel sad for her like, oh, you're poor. I felt sad for her like,
no, it's just, but,
it must be difficult raising a kid.
Exactly.
Also, like, in a town that is empty and quiet and like isolating in a way.
It was, I felt bad for her. And then the other person was Faith, obviously. Put all her stock in Lauren. And this guy
gonna happen.
Just wanted to smack him once, like, because he has this smirk on his face, no matter what he says.
I'm not defending him, but I think it's a nervous thing.
Or it could be, he could just look like that, you know. Some people are like, you know, they have this constant smirk on their face. And no matter if he's saying something funny or something serious, that face doesn't change. It's that smirk is there all the time. It's like, you know, wake up.
I wonder, had he not gotten his gonorrhea situation, would he have ever told Faith? Or I feel like he would have slept with her and then, but like, some, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
he's the type of person. He's, you know, he would have said it. I mean, he told him he's homeless. I mean, what could be worse than that?
Well, you know what's
worse
than
that? He's pretty honest with everything else.
Freaking cheating is worse than that. And she wants to go slow. So had he slept with her and then told her, like, I feel like that would have been a million times worse. I'm talking about him having been cheating on her this whole time.
Right.
So I'm saying, I wonder if that is what kind of sped up him telling her.
Probably.
That he's been open this whole time.
That's possible. But it's just the way he says things. Like, he's so awkward. It's like they're having a good time in this beautiful park. You know, they go to
her later?
Swimming. Yeah, just like, so either tell her before. It's like they're like, on the way to leave the park or the whatever they were. And awkwardly he says, well, I can't kiss you.
Oh, he just says, by the way, we can't kiss.
Man, you're so weird. Why are you still telling her like that? And then, you know, the ride back home to Manila, and, you know.
Long ride. You start
explaining long ride, yeah. And she was devastated. I mean, it's like everybody else did the same thing, you know. Most likely other men did the same thing or similar to that to her all her life. And that's why she doesn't trust anybody. And once she does, you know, she doesn't expect this. She expects it to be,
you know,
yeah.
This is not my real girlfriend. This is just who I mess around with on the side. And that's exactly how he made her feel, which was, I think, one of her biggest fears. So
when they get back to the hotel, Faye tells him that I need time to think about everything. And Lauren is, you know, he's still with that smirk, and he turns to the camera crew, is like, I don't know. Like, he actually doesn't have any money to eat. Anything. Who's going to give me money? Can I ask production to give me breakfast and lunch tomorrow? Because I spend all the $46 that I ever had in my life at the market. So, I don't know. And then we have the big wedding, the huge wedding.
Okay, so still major smackable face vibes.
I know.
I feel like it's like take a number. We're all waiting in line to smack him in the face.
Exactly, right?
But you know what? Remember last week I was like, I wonder if they'll mention who paid for the wedding. I think he and his family paid for it.
His family paid for it, yeah. Well, who did you think was...
Well, I thought she gave him money.
No.
That wedding?
Yeah.
Maybe I should have gotten married in Jordan, but that wedding looked nice.
Yeah, I mean, to have a wedding really like that in nice. Jordan, you're probably very rich. You know, yes, either you're very rich or you're high up in the government that you can throw a party, you know, party like
because
that.
Because it's insane.
I mean, they had fireworks, they had, you know, dance groups and, you know.
Multiple dance crews.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I was wondering was because I was like, well, then this is another level of control. Like, if he already has money, it's not going to translate to America. Maybe not.
No, probably not.
But I'm saying, like, that's another level of, like, she doesn't have that upper hand on him. Like, he could still right. be like, well, I don't care. Like, my family's going to take care of me. So,
go ahead. Yeah, he doesn't care. That's the attitude. It's like, I don't, you know, I'll do whatever I want. This is Festival of Adnan. So.
Kiss off fast.
And they ask him, what's the meaning behind these golden masks? That he's like, I don't know. It's nothing. It's Adnan.
Stupid.
What?
Not TLC thinking that's like a Muslim thing again.
I know. He's probably seen it in a movie somewhere and is like, okay, I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to do that at my wedding.
Also,
it just looks cool.
God,
that's all.
I do really like her because you can tell, like, half the time she's, or not half the time, most of the time she's like, she's joking. Like, that facade is like it's a character that she does. Right. She's actually like pretty intelligent and she knows exactly what is happening and what she's doing and whatever. And she was joking about, like, well, if he's a serial killer, like, she's joking. She knows what she's doing.
I know. Well, that part of it, yeah, she was.
But it's also
she was really mad when they were, because they went into this room. I don't know, for some reason they had to come in with one outfit and then go change like right away.
This idiot wants to show off.
To another outfit. Yeah.
This idiot wants to show off.
And nobody does that. Who, nobody, you know, which country, which culture?
In this culture, in America, they do that a lot. They'll be like,
yeah,
this is my entrance outfit. This is my this outfit. This is my reception outfit. Like, people change. But
yeah, but you give yourself plenty of time to change. It's not you got to change in 10 minutes and we're going to be out of here. It's not going to happen.
And she's starting to use her voice. Like, she's, I guess her method is, I'm going to start off cute and respectful And if you disrespect me, I'm going to say something. So she already is pointing out the deep hypocrisy of his stupid arbitrary rules that are not Muslim rules. They're not Jordanian rules. They're not any of that. They're just
it's his rules. He can pick and choose whatever he likes.
And he has the audacity to, first of all, not even in the U.S. do they have a shared dressing room. There's always a men and a women's changing room on at wedding venues. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this, first of all, you're undressing in front of her friend.
Right.
You're half naked in front of her friend. She's like, what the hell? How is that okay? And second of all, you have all these men in here. She can't change. She has to wait for you to get done. And she even said, she was like, he has three guys helping him with a suit.
Yeah. And she needs more time. Yeah, exactly. And this huge wedding, every woman has hijab on and has the dress all the way covered neck and everything. And she comes out with this dress that is open neck in the front. And
he okayed
all the
that?
Way down. I guess so. I mean, talk about pick and choose whatever you like. You know, I guess he okayed that. What is going on here?
It's all over the place. It just doesn't make sense. It would not be like that.
It's not consistent at all.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
So next we're going to see Renee and Chidi, and they decided to go and walk around this conservatory park in beautiful, like a rainforest type of place. And Renee asked him again, tell me again about how you became blind. And I'm thinking, all this time that you've been 5 years online, you were talking to each other, and this subject never came up. You never thought to ask, how did this happen to you? He kind of explains it again. So she says, maybe you became you spiritually blind. This was your path to become blind and finally get to so then we can be together. And Chidi's like, what the hell are you talking about? Are you serious? You think for a second that if Chidi could have had his eyesight, he wouldn't give up on Renee? it would take him a quick second, bye.
It's totally insensitive. It's like this woman is not around other people, so I guess that she doesn't understand what normal decorum is, but first of all, she's harping on his blindness way too much. Please stop. I just like that in the clip for the next episode, he was she's not living in reality. There was a commentary clip where he was
she lives in a different reality.
It's a weird thing to say. I think it offended him, and I think she's going to continue to offend him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There wasn't much going on with Vea and Rory, traveling to South Africa. Except that she had
did you hear him say South Africa?
No, I missed it again.
Go back and listen to it. I swear he's still doing it. Sincerely.
It's all very strange. The hell are you doing?
I'm blowing.
Are you snorting something? Can I get some? What is it?
I'm blowing my nose.
Is it the good stuff?
Let's talk about other way.
Yeah, I'm getting really bad. I'm really getting bad vibes from those two, Sadler and Dempsey.
I have so much to say about that because I have anxiety.
They're just not understanding each other.
I'm not, I don't have autism, but I have anxiety. And this is the third or fourth time that Dempsey has been what's your problem? Why can't you just da da da? And Sadler is very clearly being I'm struggling right now, or and instead of being a good partner and being how can I support you, or I understand, or whatever, she continues to push and push and push. It's just shows how weak Dempsey is as a singular individual.
Okay.
She's deeply codependent. No, she's deeply codependent because she said things like, if you're not happy, I can't be happy. That's a problem. Go to therapy.
Well,
if you're dependent on other people's emotions, That's a major problem. And that's not Statler's fault. She's struggling right now. So either support her or give her space, like when they're on the ferry.
I understand. I completely understand. But when you're going on this voyage, going on this trip, you want to enjoy the moments of that trip. You know, you want to have that moment where you're standing on, looking at the ocean, looking at the water. You want to, you know, enjoy every minute of it. You don't want it to be you by yourself and your partner by yourself. You know, you want to enjoy it together.
You can't control when anxiety is going to kick in. Right. No one can. So either don't be with someone who has anxiety issues or deal with it.
Yeah, that's like, the main point. It's like you knew how she is. Why did you continue? Why did you go ahead with this? Even though you knew she had these, you know, issues going on, you know. Not that Dempsey doesn't have her own issues, but at the same time, it's about you both of you understanding each other and moving forward with something that you can't really carry on with. So
she just from the start didn't really care for the way this was affecting Statler. She was just like, this is my dream to live van life and come with me and fund my dream and all this stuff. And Statler kept saying, like, I need routine. I need this. I need that. Statler should have made her own decision and said, this is not for me. Sorry, can't do it. But she didn't want to end the relationship because they met before Dempsey was still living in like a trailer, but she wasn't living this like vagabond lifestyle.
So this this is the choice she made. I mean, the choice was whether they're to continue culpable. Or stop. So once you make that choice, then, you know, you made the choice. So you have to carry on. And
I don't think Statler is being difficult. Like, I think she is carrying on.
She is the way she is. No, she's not. Yeah, she's not being difficult. It's just the way she is.
Yeah.
You know, she can't change that. So,
but Dempsey, God, it's
Dempsey has to be more understanding.
Statler's funded your entire life goal, and she's been telling you, this is difficult for me. I need this.
She forgot to convert it into pounds.
Yeah, and Dempsey has not made any effort to make accommodations for Statler at all.
What is she supposed to do, though? I don't understand.
Well, I'm saying try to have something that is similar throughout the day. We share breakfast together every morning or something. It could be something small, but this, you know, and I don't know if that would work for Statler, but for someone like me, if I feel like I'm spinning and I have nothing to ground me, something like that would be helpful. But Dempsey shows zero desire to even be like, how can I help you? How can this? I understand that she's upset because she's like, this is a big moment, da da da. But it's like, this is a big moment for you, not for Statler. This is not her dream. This is not her goal or whatever. So she's not going to have the same reaction as you.
Yeah. You understand. I mean, Dempsey should have given her
the
space, you know, in that particular moment. But
She was like that at the airport. She was like, why aren't you happy and this and that? It's like, because she just traveled on like four different flights and she's tired and she's probably really overstimulated. Give her and her new life is setting in. She's realizing, shit, this is my life. Give her a fucking second to process.
Well, yeah, that happens when you haven't seen that in your life. I mean, it's hard for someone to come across a person like Statler that has these issues and deal with them on daily basis, on a regular basis, and know how to deal with it, you know, how to respond to it.
She has no desire. She's not showing any desire to either.
So she hasn't learned that. I mean, she has to end it or she has to learn how to deal with it.
Who are the other couples? I know the other couples are Banana Chip.
And Slarper, my favorite.
Oh my God, how could we forget? Okay.
So they go to a therapist finally. I was shocked. Thank God. Somebody. But you take it to a woman's, you know, therapist. This guy has issues.
Problem?
Yeah, because then other issues might come up. You know,
like what?
He's like that, he's a womanizer.
They keep replaying my favorite clip when he calls her sister a bitch.
exactly.
You know, they're like, that's mean. You don't say that. Okay, stupid. What do you want me to say? It's like, it's not better.
Let me be honest.
I was shocked that he got rid of the bottles and the book.
Yeah, he's really feeling desperate. You know, he's really, you know, he knows this is it if, you know, he screws up. Because he probably, well, we never saw the scene that when he grabs the phone from her and rips her hair off.
Yeah. You know?
She did the right thing. Make him feel like this is it. Some people give up, like if the other person is like a little nice to them, but she stood her ground. I'm glad that she did.
I think she's been through it enough with him that she's right. Like, I can't keep doing this.
I know. And plus she gave up her family for him. You know, did nobody, you know, her family don't talk to her. It was important that, you know, she make him realize what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he finally gave up on the bottles and burned the book notebook, finally.
I was shocked because he was clinging on to those.
She still said, like, you got to see a therapist. And it's like, next on, she's asking him, are you still going to therapy? He says, yeah, I'm going to therapy. Like, when? When is the appointment?
He's like, you know, yesterday.
I didn't expect you asking me that question.
We'll see. I like that he's showing interest, though. It's a new side of him. They're still together. So clearly something goes right.
And then there's Josh and Lily. It's like a weird vibe from this guy. I don't know.
Who's Josh and Lily?
Josh and Lily.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, the way I feel about
She's being nice to him, except the only thing that I don't like about
it. You're going to say what I'm about to say.
She keeps saying, like, I spend this much on this, I don't have money. Okay. It's like,
This is what I want to say. If she's pretty much wants, like, a sugar baby, which he is, like, she just wanted some American guy, it seems like, to, like, show off to her friends, and you are paying for things, like, don't talk about the money. Like, that's right. This is transactional because you know that he's unemployed or he has no money or whatever.
Right.
Don't bring it up. If that's not what you wanted,
right,
then either don't be with him or tell him, I can't be with you until you get a job and contribute equally or whatever it is that it is. It's weird that he keeps being like, I don't know if he's lying, but he keeps being like, I didn't need that. Like, we could have just gone for a walk in the park or whatever. And she keeps like overspending, it seems like.
Right.
And I don't know if it's because she's insecure or whatever, but it's like, don't do that. If you're already stressed with your money
right.
and you don't like that he's not contributing in this and that, stop spending the money. Like, it's not hard.
I haven't seen them kiss at all.
She finally brought it up. Poor one was so embarrassed to bring it up too. But like, I don't know.
And he keeps saying like, I'm sick, I have a cold and this and that. It's like,
I don't know. Do you think he doesn't like her? I don't know. I can't tell. I can't read him. He just seems like kind of weird. You're right. Like, I just don't really
know. The next on they're going to show is his brother is coming for the wedding and see what the brother has to say about Lily, you know. And then we got, who do we got? Corona and Inky.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why I didn't want to talk about the other way is because there are certain couples on this season that bother me so much that I was like, I'm just going to be yelling the entire time when I talk to you about it.
Which one bothers you the most? Let's figure that out.
Joanne and
they bother you the most? Really?
I need to take a couple of breaths because I'm about to freak out. Who do you want to talk about first? Because Corona just pisses me
off. The ones that bother me the most are James and Tata. Have you seen one episode without Tata?
Where she's not crying?
Not crying.
Whether or not
it
is hormonal or whatever, it must be really tiring for her. You know? Yeah. Like to just be... It's like so draining to be like having that strong of an emotion that right. often. But she. Why are you right. talking like that?
I don't know. I just think that's all immaturity.
Maybe
she's like a 5-year-old.
She scares me a little bit. I don't like when people are unpredictable.
Right.
It kind of scares me, and that's. I feel like that sounds not nice.
Not that James is not. I mean, he's immature too. I mean, what's the deal with this car that they can't sell and they had to repair the car?
Yeah, who's not buying it? Lower the f***ing price.
And it costs like $8,000. I don't get it, you know? Maybe it's just an excuse for him to say, oh, we can't make it here. We got to go back. Yeah.
Wait, I felt so bad about the dog.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Jojo?
Yeah.
Jojo.
That was so sad. They were like, they might not be able to bring their dog and like the dog might get stuck. Like, I would be a mess if I was separated from my dog.
So he's proposing, let's go back to America. We'll have Jojo.
They're going to have
to. And we can work. And, you know, we don't have to depend on banana chips.
why can't he continue the jewelry business from there? Like, manage it there and continue to sell in the U.S.? I don't understand.
Oh, I don't know. What kind of jewelry business?
He said they have like a jewelry business, and he was like, I might get it started up here. It's like,
they're not going to last there. They're not going to make money.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying if they're in Indonesia and he needs money, you already have a business. Why can't you just keep running your business from Indonesia? I don't get it.
I don't know. I have no idea. They're not, I mean, they don't think.
No one thinks things through. Yeah, on this show, ever. Inky and Corona.
All right.
She bothers me for a lot of reasons.
Why give up on this? Is like one of the best schools for midwifery, and she gave that up to go there.
I can't. That's not even the reason why she bothers me. She bothers me because this is so controversial. This is a hot take.
The way she dresses.
I'm about to say something. Okay, because you know, listen, you know me. I'm very like, dress how you want, be comfortable. I love it. Screw everyone else. I'm a girl's girl.
Uh-huh.
People are judgmental, don't care what they think. But when I'm like somewhere else where I'm not familiar with the vibe, if I'm in a conservative area or if I'm going to a church or this or that, I adjust how I dress.
Right.
I don't dress how I want to dress out of respect for the people around me.
Exactly.
She doesn't do that. And it really bothers me because she's like, this is who I am. This is who I am. And it's like,
yeah,
that's fine, but like, I've been to Reykjavik, I've been to Iceland.
Right.
Those people are very nice. For the most part, those people are very respectful, so they're not going to make comments probably about, I mean, watch, I'm going to eat my words if this happens in the next episode, but they're probably not going to make any comments about how she dresses. It just bothers me.
Yeah, nobody does. Like, he doesn't. Nobody else does either.
Can we just dial it back a little bit, and she's going to roll her f***ing ankle on those 7-inch platforms.
Isn't it cold there? Why is she, and doesn't she need like a turtleneck or some sweater and cover her or something?
I went there in March and it was freezing.
Oh, I'm sure.
I loved it there. I have a soft spot for Iceland. I loved the people that I interacted with. It's a very small city, Reykjavik, and it's the biggest city, I'm pretty sure, in the country.
Probably.
Everybody knows everybody, so like, you're not gonna, you know, it's no surprise to me that the meetup group for Black people and expats in Iceland was like 5 people. That doesn't surprise me.
Right.
I really don't like her. Sorry. Maybe that'll change, but she's also, again, super unpredictable. She's very like, it seems like Inky is taking this as like, oh, we're just kind of like dating. And she's taking it as, I'm marrying you, I'm staying here forever.
Right.
Like, they're not aligned, it doesn't seem like.
No. I don't know what she's going to do. Give up her career? So we don't know where that's going to go.
No.
And why don't you like Joanne and Sean?
Why do you think?
Because they didn't tell people that they're married.
It's not about people. It's about their kids.
Yeah, I mean, they
didn't. This is not like. Yeah. This is infuriating to me.
Yeah, that was a big mistake on their part.
I need to chill out a little bit because I feel such deep anger towards them.
Right.
It's selfish. It's obnoxious.
Right.
To go and you have kids that are grown, that are completely, these are sharp kids. These are not stupid kids.
They're good kids.
These kids know what's going on.
They're mature for their age in a way.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go and you marry this guy.
Right.
You don't tell anyone. First of all, he doesn't even tell his daughter that they're dating. He just says they're friends.
Yeah, you could tell the daughter was really upset. And, you know, she said, let this be the last time or something like
that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I just kept thinking the whole time, because at the beginning of the season when they introduced them, the older son was like, you know, my mom really values my opinion, so she wants me to go check this guy out for... And I kept thinking, this kid is going to be crushed once he realizes your mom doesn't give a about your opinion because she already went and married this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, that is like the one-way ticket. That is the express ticket to your children will never trust you ever again.
Yeah.
That is the way to break whatever trust you had built with your children in one fell swoop. And on top of that,
right.
It's not even like you sit them down and you speak to them individually. You sit and you drop a bomb on all of them in front of everyone.
I know.
So that these kids don't have time to genuinely process their emotions. They have to fake or pretend because they're nervous, because they're around other people that are strangers to them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they don't have opportunity to actually react or process.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, well, I wish they would be happier for us.
Yeah.
I hope these kids never share anything with you ever again.
Yeah, they kind of admitted it was a big mistake, not to, you know.
Why did it take up until now to realize that it was a mistake? I don't understand.
Because sometimes you feel like people will react differently to what you're doing, and you feel like this is something happy, so it should be
for you.
And then
on top of them, she goes and tells the kids, oh, by the way, I'm coming back here in Ireland. What the fuck? These kids are like, you're getting whiplash from how quickly you're saying this. Give them a second to even, first of all, stop making decisions that affect them without their input.
Right.
You know, because you're out here saying you're moving here and this and that, and they have to come with you or they don't have to. Stop for a second. Slow down.
Yeah.
Let these children understand what you just told them. What you just told them is that the stranger they've spent a couple of days with is their stepdad and has been for 2 years. And now I bet what these kids are doing are going back in their head and they're reliving all these memories where they're realizing their parents lied to their face these past 2 years. That's tough.
I know. It was, it was a big mistake to do it like that. It could have been so much better if they had... You know, from the get-go, they would have included them. And like a month after, 2 months after, don't let it go, you know, for 2 years, for God's sake.
But you're right. The more time that passed, the worse it got. Yeah. Because it's more lying and more lying and more lying. Yeah. You're just constantly lying to your kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
And these kids are like, well, what loyalty should I have to my mother? What, you know? It's something happy.
So you want them to share it with you, you know, instead of keeping it away, you know, keeping it a secret. Why don't you want to have them included in your happiness? They could have done that from the start, but it was a big mistake, you know. And now they're realizing that the kids are not acting like the way they thought they would act.
It makes me so irritated. It's like, these people should not be parents. Like, that's how strongly I feel. Anyone else might say, it's not that big of a deal. Like, they'll get over it. But to me, like, this is like what makes a parent is mutual respect and trust and et cetera. And like, for these people to just be so blatantly like selfish.
They carried and they don't on care. For 2 years. And,
That's like literally the only reason why I didn't want to talk about the show, because I was like, I don't think I can calm down enough to talk about it.
Well, we can exclude Dylan and Sean if you want. You don't have to talk about them.
I need to get over it.
We can talk about Shekinah and Sarper more. That's it. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Why do you change your voice for it? I can talk normal.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you join us again next week.
Hey. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.